Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
We have this hope as an anchor. Remember that. It's like an anchor. It's like a firm, secure anchor. It has weight. It keeps us from drifting. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, as an anchor for your mind, as an anchor for your imagination, as an anchor for your will, as an anchor for your emotions, an anchor for your memories, an anchor for your intellect. Without an anchor for your intellect, AI will dominate you.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Hope, an Anchor for the Soul. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 20.
I'm ready to teach. Are you ready to receive? What is hope? Well, hope, the scripture says in verse 19 of Hebrews 6, is an anchor for the soul, firm and secured. And Jesus, because God wanted to make the unchangeable nature of his purpose, the unchangeable nature of his purpose clear, very clear to the heirs of the purpose of his nature, or the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. He swore by his own name. In other words, God says, I want my promise to overtake you in such a way I will swear by my own name that everything I promised, I'm going to bring it to pass. You can put your confidence in the promise of God. Many of us get disappointed because we put our confidence like we should put confidence in God. We put confidence in things and in people. But you must put your confidence in the Lord. He swore by his own name to make clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have fled to cling to the hope offered to us. We're supposed to grab hold to hope. We're supposed to cling to hope. We're supposed to embrace hope. But I've never seen hope, Bishop. It doesn't look like a person. I only know how to grab people. I only know how to embrace things. How do I grab and cling on to something that I can't see? Well, it's all by faith. Can the church say amen? It's so important. If you don't grab onto this, you'll drift all through your life with what's coming to you over the next, let's say, 22 years. The cycle that you're in today, you're going to repeat it in 22 years. And the next time you come around, you want to be able to say, I held on to something that brought me through. If you're in your 30s now, you're going to be in your 50s. If you're in your 50s, you're going to be in your 70s. And you will walk the same trail. You will see the same terrain. Circumstances may happen to you, or you'll see it in your children. And when you get back to this point, you want to have some type of treasure that makes you secure. And it is the hope that you have in God that will make you secure. If you don't secure this anchor now, when it comes back around, either in your life or in the life of your children, you will come up wanting. And you're going to remember what I said. Bishop Clark said in the year 2025, February the 2nd, that I'm going to have to walk the same trail that I'm walking right now, either in my personal life or in the life of my children. And I need to have hope and be able to convey to them that they must have hope if they're going to survive. You can put money in the bank and say, oh, my God, I'll leave you $500,000 when I die. They will spend it in 3 weeks. If you don't get your mind right and start teaching the word, they're going to drift to something else. It happens with every generation. If there's no plumb line, If there's no order, if there's no structure, and if there is no hope, we float on. So verse 19 is clear. We have this hope as an anchor. Remember that. It's like an anchor. It's like a firm, secure anchor. It has weight. It keeps us from drifting. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, as an anchor for your mind, as an anchor for your imagination, as an anchor for your will, as an anchor for your emotions, an anchor for your emotions, an anchor for your emotions, an anchor for your memories, an anchor for your intellect. Without an anchor for your intellect, AI will dominate you. You be going to AI, getting all this information, acting like it's yours. Or you will become so intellectual that everything has to be proven to you. Nobody can prove how email works, but we know it works. Nobody can prove how, I can't prove how GPS works, but it works. When I need to go to some place, I put the address in there. We had to go. Mom and I had to go somewhere Friday night. We put the GPS in there. Next thing you know, we wound up there. I didn't know where it was. I thought it was at a place on a rural road that I'm familiar with, but the GPS said keep driving. I said, what? So we kept driving and went into a place that I've never been before, and we were right at the place that we needed to be. I don't know how that works. I don't know how a satellite digitally can talk to my phone and tell me where to go. But it's working. And some of you, you want God to prove to you everything that you, that everything that the word says, or you won't believe it when you do things all of the time and can't prove it. Why do we have to do that? What's up? It's intellect. It must have an anchor. The intellect must have an anchor. When it has one, it won't float on. Major shifts are here in America. In the last 7 days, we've had two planes to go down in America and a helicopter. We have around 70 people that are dead, including children. And I don't know why the church isn't packed out this morning. If you've ever flown on a helicopter or a jet, you ought to say thank you. I can't imagine flying into a zone about to land, and I'm texting people saying I'm landing, and I never make it. I can't imagine coming down, descending, entering into airspace of a region that I'm familiar with, looking out the window, wow, peeking out the window at the lights, and all of a sudden there's a bright bang. I can't imagine skaters, young girls, young boys, skating, practicing, got their skill set down. What did they do? What did they do that's worse than anything we've done? Many of them are innocent, and they're now on the other side, and people still don't even understand, man. We better put our confidence and hope not in jets and in military and whatever. Put your confidence in God. Not in your job, not in what you can do. Put your confidence in God, because nothing is certain. I was in the military and hooked up to a helicopter and spy rigged. In other words, they put a rope on my harness and me and 12 other guys, and we started walking, and the helicopter lifted and we came off the ground, and it started flying while I'm flying, hanging from a rope over trees. I'm looking at the terrain. My God, whoa, man, I believe I can fly. I believe. I'm telling you right now, I was actually flying. And God brought me back down, allowed my feet to hit the ground with no incident. Every time I hear about a helicopter crash, I shake. Because it's easy to go through a tragedy in the military. It's easy.
It's easy. I was on my way sailing from Okinawa to Japan to Tokyo, and we went into a typhoon, and I was inquisitive, opened up the door because I wanted to see, and the wind was blowing so bad, it looked like the waves were tall, like 30 feet high above the ship. And it blows, so I had to hold on because the wind was so, it was so fierce, I had to hold on until I could shut the door. And the wind stopped blowing. I could have been blown off that ship. And nobody found me, but God gave me another day to live and to move and to have being. And every time I hear about a tragedy like that, I say, Lord, thank you. And if you look over your shoulder, there are people who are in the ground. Glory to God. They're in the ground. They're in the ground. Something was covered over them, and you're still here. You owe it to the ones that didn't make it to put your hope in something. I choose to put my hope in the Lord. Because you are here turning lives around. And I worship you. I can't stop worshiping. I got stuff going on, stuff I don't like, but I got to worship. I got disappointments in my life, hallelujah, and made some mistakes, but I've got to worship. Oh my God, I don't like everything that's happening in my life, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to the things which are before me, I press toward the goal. What goal? I can't even see it. I got hope that's pushing me forward. Glory to God. And I pray that I'm preaching to a church that's got a little seed of hope on the inside. And that's hope in God. Major shifts are happening. Disappointments. Even losing loved ones. It's deeply painful. It's a painful experience that can bring a range of emotions. Like sadness, like anger, like confusion, like a sense of emptiness. Often referred to as grief. We have grief counseling here. Grief Share would encourage you, if you're going through grief, to go through it. The problem with grief is that there are moments where you feel like you've overcome it, and then things happen in your life, and it's like the grief that you experienced back then, it bounces back. It's like a fresh wind of grief. It's like the scent of grief hits you. And it's nothing to be sad about, but it's just following a track. Yes. I'm following a track 22 years ago, same day. On the 31st of January, on a Friday, my mother passed away. I wasn't expecting it. My siblings weren't expecting it. I usually called her when I leave service on a Wednesday on my way home. Hello, she said, hello. And I didn't do it that Wednesday. That Thursday, a tornado, that was Wednesday, the 29th. That Wednesday night, the Thursday night, a tornado touched down somewhere in Kissimmee, and the wind was blowing different in Palm Bay. It was different. I was standing outside, and the lady next door to us, she was an elderly Caucasian lady, and she was alone. Her son lived right next to them, but they wouldn't next to her, but they wouldn't talk. Anyway, her alarm was going off, and so I went over to the house, and she was afraid, and her name was Ann. So I would say, Miss Ann, you okay? And she said, she was just afraid. She couldn't turn the alarm off. So we called the fire department and all of that, and while I was standing on the porch, I got this weird feeling. Maybe I need to stand in the center of the road because of the alarm going off, and I'm on her porch. And these people pull up here, they may think I did something. The way folks shooting folk and all of that. So I left her front porch and went and stood in the middle of the road while the wind was blowing. I said, man, this is an unusual night. Fire department came, knocked on the door, and she let them in. And they were able to get her alarm off. And they left, and I was still standing there. And that old lady walked to the bay window of her house and stood there. I could see her silhouette. I said, why would she stand there? No one is in there. And she stood there as if she was just a mannequin. And I stood there looking at her. And 30 minutes passed.
And she didn't move. I said, what's wrong with Miss Ann? She probably was saying, what's wrong with him? He's standing. But honestly, her shades were closed. She couldn't see out. I could only see her silhouette. I said, that's unusual. The next morning, I get a call. My sister said, Mama's not responding. I jumped out of the bed. I started moving. I already knew. Pastor said, what's wrong? I said, she's not responding. We got to get up. She said, I want to go. I was moving, man, just shifting. I called my office. I said, listen. She called back and said, she's gone. I called my office. I said, my mother's just taking flight. I need you all to watch how you move right now. I don't want an exodus or an arrival up in Titusville, and there's so many people, we don't know what to do, and I want them to cover her body. Valerie said, what? I said, my mother just took flight. She started crying. And we got in the vehicle, and I picked up Doris because I didn't want her driving up there, and we drove to Titusville, and she was still laying on the floor. I got down and put my head on her head, my hand on her head as I was kneeling there. I said, what's wrong with you, woman? What happened to you? Of course, she couldn't talk to me, but I was speaking to her like that. My younger brother, Eric, he grieves a different way. When he got there, he went to the ditch, and he fell on his knees. Nick was standing in the front yard. When I got there, I said, matriarch is gone. Life will never be the same again. And after a while, people started gathering from all over. Pastor was there with me. She'll tell you. My sister was crying so bad, her eyes swole up. We grieved. So that's a 22-year cycle. On yesterday, I have to bury somebody. I want you all to see behind the scenes, okay? 22, same day. Friday she dies, Saturday I'm doing a funeral, and I found myself sniffing the fumes of grief. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You're going to follow a track. In other words, you're going to go back around the same road that you came down, and you want to have something to give you an anchor. I'm not the man that I used to be. I got a little bit more strength. Glory to God. I got a little bit more insight. Hallelujah. I'm able to carry a fence. I'm able to carry a gate. He's given me strength to carry not only my burden, but I can carry somebody on the right and the left. And I give him praise. And I'm telling you, it is the anchor of hope that caused me to be able to do what I do and to say what I say and to move the way I move without bringing it up yesterday, without telling those people what I'm telling you that buried the husband or the brother or the son or the father. It is to carry what I got to carry and get over the finish line. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, it is hope that made me well. And hope will make you well. When you have to follow the same track, same date, same scent, same issue, and you got to take your kids with you, you want to be able to say it's going to be all right. Amen. I've been here before. And God brought me through, and he's going to bring you through. I was young, and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed beg bread. No, we're not going to cower. We're not going to fall out when somebody passes away. You know why? Because I got my hope in the Lord. And I don't grieve as others would grieve. And this is not braggadocious. It's just to let you know we're going to go through some things. We're going to see some stuff that, that we don't want to see. But God is going to bring us out. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Praise break. Come on, praise break. I'm still anointed. Praise break. Commercial. Let's go to a commercial. My mama died, and on that Sunday, I was standing here, and I grabbed this podium, and I started crying, but not openly, and the whole church started crying. I'm the same man, but a different man. And I've gone through anger and confusion and emptiness. But God. I've gone through all of the stages of grief, but God. Not everyone experiences grief the same, and that's why we're not trying to put you in a box. But hope will make you well. Sometimes family won't be there for you. Many times friends won't be there. But God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm grateful that my family is still with, still together. And I'm saying what keeps my family together is not me, it's God. We would have imploded if it wasn't for the Lord. When my mom passed away, she was the glue that kept us together. In other words, she was the reason why we would go home. It wasn't just her hen either. It wasn't her turkey legs. She had a spirit. But she had some mean hen, though, I'm telling you right now. And she could really burn. She would fix a whole ham for Eric. He just sliced some, one slice after a slice, just eating ham. She loved to see Eric eat ham. He just eat slice after slice. He's quiet, but he'll take a slice, nah, chew it up. That's how she was. Baked pies and cakes for the community. She was the reason. So what would be the reason for us to gather now if she's gone? If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't go home. I'm telling you right now. Me, personally, I don't need all of that. I don't need to. I hang around people all the time. I don't need to hang around everybody. God put us together. God put us together. People, when my mama was sitting on the front porch, people would be smoking. When they see her, oh, I'm sorry, Miss Clark, and hide the cigarette. When a real lady stand up, man, listen, people can see it. Dudes be cussing. They say, oh, I'm sorry, Miss Clark, I'm sorry. It happened all the time. As soon as they get past her, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You can carry something with you. So when she left, if we didn't have our faith in God, what would we do? For 5-8 years afterwards, every November, I pull my family together. We need to keep our faith in God. We need to talk about this and that. I don't need you all defending me. Let's keep pulling. We have a family meeting. You pull your family together and have a family meeting. I'm standing in the limelight. You're always going to see flaws with me. But I pull my family together and say, this is how I would like to proceed. And God kept us together. We're still together. We got one brother on the street, but God's going to bring him out too. You better have some hope. December before my mother passed away, hope, right? A man named Gil Diaz came to me. He was a member of the church. He said, Bishop, something is about to happen in your mom's house, in your parents' house. Please go. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you that. He wasn't even a preacher. I got a witness in my spirit and I obeyed. I got in my car and I went home. My mother and I talked for 8 hours and got all of our stuff straight. That was December of the year prior. I sat under a tree with her for 8 hours, and we talked and cried. I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, got her a box. Eat it. Talked with her, walked around the table, walked around the tree, cried, asked for forgiveness, both of us. She baked sweet potato pies, and many of the members bought it. When they heard about her death, one of the elders brought me the sweet potato pie that my mama bought and said, I froze it. Here, I want you to have it. And I looked at it, and Pastor will tell you, I put it on the counter, and I didn't eat it. It spoiled. I couldn't. I didn't grieve until 10 months later. I lowered her in the ground. If we didn't have hope, I wouldn't be able to make it. And when I'm standing here yesterday at a funeral, I can tell I was a different man. I'm able to bear a whole nother family's burden and help them to get to the place they need to be without bringing it up. This is what sparked me to tell you what I'm telling you now. You're going to follow the same patterns. But you want to have a little bit more strength when you come back around again. Oh, my God. Some of us are in a cycle. Now, I'm going to talk about it. And God want to give you strength so you'll always overcome. Prolonged grief can derail your prophetic and apostolic pursuits. Prolonged grief can derail your prophetic and apostolic pursuits.
when you should be establishing things or prophetically speaking to it. Prolonged grief will dull it. Write it down. Hope is the anchor. So what is hope? Hope is an optimistic feeling that something good, an optimistic feeling that should grow from reading the word, that something good will happen when things around you are uncertain. It is that optimistic feeling that something good will happen when you're living in a time of uncertainty. And the hope should not come just from optimism. It should be built from the word, like the promise of God. The oath that God made should fuel your hope. It mixes with your spirit, but also your emotions and your thoughts should all align themselves with the oath that God made. I know sooner or later what he said is going to come to pass.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Hope and Anchor for the Soul, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
February is American Heart Month, a great time for everyone to focus on cardiovascular health. Knowing your risk factors is an essential part of keeping your heart healthy. Take charge of your health by checking your blood pressure and cholesterol levels and gaining other important heart health education from a medical professional. The 2025 Black History Month theme, African Americans and Labor, focuses on the various and profound ways that work and working of all kinds, free and unfree, skilled and unskilled, vocational and voluntary, intersect with the collective experiences of Black people. This month-long observation is an opportunity to understand Black histories going beyond stories of racism and slavery to spotlight Black achievement. Join the Marriage Enrichment Ministry for an unforgettable Hearts Intertwined Couples Talk Valentine special event on Saturday, February 15th at 7 p.m. Celebrate love, embrace the covenant, and discover a purpose to align your vision for a shared purpose with transformative wisdom from Bishop Clark. Childcare and refreshments will be provided.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.